So I really do want my bachelor's. Okay. I really do.
Nice.
I feel like in our industry and in our field, you have to deal with producers and they feel, and it's sad because people feel like when you're in the art world, you're not intelligent.
Okay, that is so true. I beg to differ.
You're beneath them. And they're like, oh, you have a degree? And I'm like, you know, one of my friends was like, yeah.
Yeah. I have an IT degree that I never got to really use aside from doing techie stuff like this, but yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get my son to finish, to do IT. Because he's real techie, but in our film, we're dealing with white men and the producers. You need that. You need that level of intelligence to go back and forth. You need it when you're verbalizing and you're communicating them via email. You have to always be on point when you're dealing with them over the phone. And so you really need those communication skills. You need the business skills when it comes to running your department with the budgets, all of that. It's just not about being creative.
Right.
It's just not about being creative. You have to know how to be multifaceted in all areas and all aspects. It's just not about creating beautiful work. It's also about running a department, being on time, having different schedules. Because, honey, it's a whole lot of wordplay.
Welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, a safe space for ambitious beauty industry creatives to have real talk, get authentic answers, and practical tools to grow their businesses. Join me every week as me and my special guest reveal the keys to longevity and success in the beauty industry, from the ups and downs of their journey to the nitty-gritty of their struggles and triumphs. We're spilling the tea on it all, and most importantly, having fun while doing it. You ready?
Hey, what's up? It's your best friend in beauty here, Aquia Robinson. Welcome back to another episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast. I am so happy to have you here, and I hope you're listening to this episode in high spirits and in good health. Now, on today's episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast, I have the pleasure of having Nicoya Yancey in the Friends in Beauty guest chair. So Nicoya is a hairstylist and UK-trained wig maker that works in TV and film. She has also worked on productions such as Just Like That, Queen Sugar, Shirley, A Man in Full, and recently served as the hair department head for the Book of Clarence. So welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, Nicoya.
Thank you for having me, Aquia. I really appreciate it.
I'm so excited to have you. I've never had a hair department head on the podcast before, so that's going to be so exciting. Yeah, I've had makeup department heads, but not hair department.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate you.
No problem. So before we jump into all the good stuff, we're going to start off with some icebreakers so the Friends of Beauty audience can get to know you a little bit outside of what you do professionally.
Okay.
So the first one, just give us 3 random facts about you.
Random facts. I'm shy.
Okay.
As you can tell. I'm from Virginia, Virginia Beach, Virginia. Okay. I went to school with, I went to summer school with Timbaland, and I went to high school with Pharrell.
Oh, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. I never met Missy, but you know, I heard about her. I never met Missy. It was before they left, you know, after we all graduated, that's when they left to go to New York. What else? I don't know. I'm a mother. I'm a mother. I love action movies. I'm a son. I have a son, so I'm a boy mom.
Okay. So being from Virginia Beach, do you consider Virginia Beach to be a part of the DMV?
No.
Okay.
It's totally different because I have my 2 sisters live in the DMV area. They're from Brooklyn, and so it's a happy medium because we're still kind of considered the South. Yeah. And Northern Virginia is way different than Virginia Beach, Virginia. It's totally different. It's like the South because we have Hampton Roads. We across the water, it's Newport News, Yorktown, Hampton. Yeah. And then down across, because we have a bridge. And so at the other side of the bridge is Hampton Roads. And so therefore we have, Hampton, Newport News is considered the peninsula, Yorktown, okay. Williamsburg, like Colonial Williamsburg, you've heard in history. That's considered the peninsula. Once you cross the Hampton Roads Bridge, then you come to Hampton Roads, which is because there's no Hampton down here, but it's down here. But you have Portsmouth, Norfolk, Virginia Beach, Suffolk, Chesapeake. And so I'm like 15 minutes away from North Carolina.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm 15 minutes away from North Carolina. We have Franklin down there, Franklin, Virginia, Roanoke Rapids. So no, we're not a part of that DMV area.
Yeah.
With the go-go and all of that.
Yeah. Well, I'm from DC. That's why I asked. I'm from DC, born and raised, still live here. So I was like, I wonder if they consider themselves DMV.
You never went down here, came down here?
For like the beach. I've been to the beach before, but not to like hang out or anything like that.
But you see, it's different. We don't have the subways. We don't have the Amtrak. We don't, it's slower up there. It's like, F Street, W Street, you know what I'm saying? 19th Street, all of that. You got the east side, west side, north side. We don't have that down here.
Yeah,
I don't even know the difference. We just go up there, hang out, go shopping. You got Tyson's Corner, you got Pentagon City, Potomac. We go up there and go shopping and then come back down here.
I know, that's right.
It's a little low key down here. It's not as exciting as DMV. I wish it was, but it's not. And we have bases. We have all four branches here. Army, Air Force, and Marines.
Nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like it. So another one, if you ran into, say, your 20-year-old self right now and you could only say three words to her, like, what would you say?
Save your money.
I like that. Save your money. You got to add girl.
Girl. Because girl, it is crazy out here. Because we came off of a strike and everything is still not back to the way it was. It's still a slow moving train. It's still not back. Because you know, after the pandemic, it was project after project after project. And now it's still a slow pace. And so we had no idea that we were going to be out of work this long.
Right.
No idea. Because at my last full-time job was the Book of Clarence. And that was February last year. I came home February 18th.
2023.
Mm-hmm. February 18th, 2023. I worked here and there. June and July, like here and there, sprinkle here and there in New York, like on American Horror Story and Ghost, because I have two good friends that are department heads and keys up there. Like my best friend is a key on American, was a key on American Horror Story, two of my best friends. And then one of my best friends was the department head on Ghost.
Okay.
So they gave me, a couple jobs here and there. And then we shut down on July 13th when the actors went on strike. So I was living off of my savings. And so when that happened, I had unemployment, and then I just started back working the week after Thanksgiving. And so I've been day playing on with Aaron Hicks and another best friend of mine, Susanna. She's the key on Raising Kanan. Mm-hmm. The best friend went left and right American Horror Story. Now she's at Law and Order, the first Law and Order, not FCU. She's over there. So I've just been day playing over there. So some people haven't worked since December of last year.
Wow.
Some people still aren't working. My son just went back to work because he's a grip. He went back to work last week.
That is crazy. I'm glad things are starting to pick up, though. Like you said, it's still slow, but that I didn't realize it was that long.
Girl, it's crazy. What are the other two things? I would say to myself, always put your family and your friends first, because we get caught up in this business and we work, and we don't have time. And I want to say that really hit home during the pandemic. Because being out of town, I work a lot out of town. I missed a lot of baby showers, weddings, just special events with my friends and my family.
Yeah.
And after the pandemic, I made it a point to fly back home, drive back home, wherever I was, to not miss those moments. Because, people are so used to you being out of town. It was like, oh, I didn't think you were here. Oh, I didn't think you were. I'm like,
yeah, I thought you were going to be busy, so I didn't even tell you.
I know. And I'm like, don't do me like that. Don't do me like that. So I made a point to be present. At all those important things, I made it a point to be present, check in with my family. And it's really important to me now because my grandma has dementia. So I have to check in on her. I have to.
Yeah. I went through that with my grandmother too, girl. Yeah.
third thing is I just love just not just with my nephew, my niece, my son, even different women that I run into, younger women, just always work on and instill and believe in yourself, have self-confidence, self-worth, and know who you are. So you won't be wavered and moved, and you know who you are and stand for what you believe in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What do people always tell you that you're good at aside from what you do professionally?
Gosh. I'm kind of like a cheerleader for my friends. I make good peach cobbler.
Ooh, okay, I like that.
I make good peach cobbler. I cook, and people don't believe that I'm a good cook because I'm small, and I'm just like, my dad was a chef. My granddad and my grandma was a chef. So, what I do love and appreciate is that I work with a makeup artist, Lalette Littlejohn on Queen Sugar.
Okay.
And Africa, she's been all over the place because you know she was Jamie Foxx personal, she did Wesley Snipes, she did so many people, and so she had the opportunity to travel all over the world. And so with her, working with her for four seasons on Queen Sugar, that really enhanced my palate and my food. You know what I mean? Because stuff that I would never ever try, I tried.
Okay.
African food, Indian food, it's just so much. You know what I mean? And the taste and the different seasonings and stuff. And I learned a lot from her in regards to food. And so now when I cook, you know, my son, or if I'm marinating different meats and stuff, because I only eat poultry and seafood, but he eats beef, and you know, and people be like, well, you don't eat it, how do you know? And I'm like, I might taste it, you know, just get the flavor in it. But he'll ask me, and his key thing is like, you have to marinate the meat.
Yes.
Marinate it to get the flavor. You have to marinate, you just can't throw it. And he loves cooking on a grill. I don't like the fire. Uh-huh. So you gotta marinate the meat. And he'd be like, Mom, what did you do? I was like, I marinated the meat.
Right. Hey, friend, I really need your help with something. I'm planning to host my very first travel retreat in 2024, and this is why. I live in DC, but I love to travel. My last few trips, I've gone to Mexico, Jamaica, the Dominican Republic, but I'm starting to get that urge to hop on a plane again very soon. And I've been thinking about what I want for myself and what I want for Friends in Beauty in 2024, and that is to make a bigger impact and build deeper connections while doing the things that we love. Like, what better way to do that than on a bomb trip, making new memories together, learning from one another, experiencing new cultures, and laying out in the sun. What I really want is for us to get into the habit of resting, recalibrating, and celebrating ourselves more. We work so hard on a day-to-day basis, and I want this experience to be an all play, no work type of vibe. You feel me? I'm ready to have some fun, and I want you to come along with me. Instead of catching all the highlights on my Instagram and YouTube, all you have to do is fill out a brief 2-minute survey to let me know where we should go, what your budget is, and the best time of year, and what you want to do. I'll leave the link here and below in the show notes. I am super duper excited to collaborate with you on this. Let's make this retreat happen and get your passports ready, because we getting up out of here. Gotta marinate it.
So, yeah. It.
Okay. When is the last time that you did something for the first time? Have you had any new experiences lately?
Something for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in this house. So. Are working. I haven't really. Oh gosh! And usually when I do stuff for the first time, it's usually with my son. I don't know.
Yeah, we gotta get out more.
I don't know. First time. Because my sisters, when we go to DC, No, I kind of like look, the last time I did something that I could feel like, oh, I don't know. It was when I was on a bike going like over 100 miles an hour.
What? On a bike going 100 miles, like a motorcycle?
I was on a back. I wasn't driving, yeah.
Oh, I'm so scared. I have never had a desire to ever ride on a motorcycle.
For real, my dad used to race cars and my dad used to race bikes. And so that whole speed thing I kind of get from him. So I race in my car and stuff. Okay. Like, why are y'all trying to race me? Like, what's going on? You're not
like, I do this. So
like, you ain't gonna win. Like, stop.
Okay.
On a bike, and you know, you got to go down low. And so I like bikes. My dad was like, always, I only rode with him and two other people. I don't do it all the time because you know, my dad always instilled in me that you can get hurt really, really bad on bikes. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know how to ride it personally. I'll get on the back, but I don't get on the back of everybody's bikes. So.
Okay. I'll take it. And last one, if you weren't a hairstylist, is there anything else you could see yourself doing right now?
A lawyer. I have like she's not a lawyer. She's kind of like in a litigation field. So she does contracts and stuff like that. And so she ended up going to law school. I never went. I wanted to go. I started. And then I started school. And I was like, oh, I'm tired of being broke.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put cosmetology school on hold and started doing hair out the house and trying to go to school. Then I kind of put school to the side and just started doing hair in the house. And then one of the girls I went to school with, because I went to her mom's cosmetology school, she was like, my mom said you need to come back and you need to finish your license and you need to stop playing around and get your license because you almost done. So then I went back to hair school. But I always wanted to kind of be a lawyer. I wanted to do, and I don't know why, because I was so shy in school. I didn't get boisterous until probably like my 19, 20, but I did want to go to law school.
Yeah. Did you ever finish school?
No. My goal was I went back in the summer and my son was 10 or 11 and I felt so bad because he did not have a summer. And then the goal was when he went back, I was going to go back so we could kind of finish our degree at the same time. Girl, that no, that didn't work either because it's hard for you to work. And then I was in a salon and then I just was like, and then I'm angry because I can't finish my work and I want to make an A and I made a C and I'm like, I made a C. Like,
right. No.
But I do want to go back and finish because I have a couple friends that do have their bachelor's and then I have one that's working on their master's. I don't know how she's in our hair, you know, the film and television and working on their master's. My sister is back in school. My other sister is back in school. I think she only has like a couple more credits to do and she's going to finish her bachelor's. So I really do want my bachelor's.
Okay.
I really do.
Nice.
I feel like in our industry and in our film field, you have to deal with producers and they feel, and it's sad because people feel like when you're in the art world, you're not intelligent.
Okay, that is so true. I beg to differ.
You're beneath them. And they're like, oh, you have a degree? And I'm like, you know, one of my friends was like, yeah.
Yeah. I have an IT degree that I never got to really use aside from doing techie stuff like this. But yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get my son to finish, to do IT. Because it's real techie, but in our field, and we're dealing with white men and the producers, you need that. You need that level of intelligence to go back and forth. You need it when you're verbalizing and you're communicating them via email.
Yeah.
You have to always be on point when you're dealing with them over the phone. And so you really need those communication skills. You need the business skills when it comes to running your department with the budgets. All of that. It's just not about being creative.
Right.
It's just not about being creative. You have to know how to be multifaceted in all areas and all aspects. It's just not about creating beautiful work. It's also about running a department, being on time, having different schedules. Because, honey, it's a whole lot of wordplay.
Yeah.
If they try to catch you up and it's a whole lot.
Like in the contracts or just in general with?
The deals, your deal memo. Your contracts. We have contracts with 798, 706, because I'm a part of different unions. When you have your turnaround times, when they have you outside and inclement weather, flooding, lightning, you have to know you have to know all of your rights because they will abuse it. If you don't know and you don't say anything, they'd be like, oh, okay.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she didn't pick up on that. That's her loss, not ours.
Right.
Definitely. Wow. With your money, your overtime, when you're out of the country working, they're supposed to pay you a certain amount. Oh, they don't tell you you need to get off the clock. And if you're not off the clock by a certain time, the time you travel, all of that, it's honey. They will try to keep every penny and not give you what is yours. And thank God that we have audits. Because I worked on a show in the Dominican Republic. I filled in for a friend, a department head. I filled in for her because she had to start another project. It was just so many rules that were broken by OSHA. It was just so many rules that were breaking with our safety. It was crazy.
Oh, wow. So
somebody said something and I was getting random checks while we were on strike from them. I was like, oh, like safety checks, random money being deposited in mine. I said, oh, and I get the check. And I said, it was from that show. I said, yeah, they were breaking all types of rules. What? All types. It was terrible. Terrible.
So you actually get paid for it when they break the rules.
Mm-hmm. Because they do an audit. They have to do an audit. And so if somebody ended up saying something.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody ended up saying something about it. I was working in the Dominican. I started in Puerto Rico and then we moved to the Dominican Republic. And you know, they, to me, I just hope and pray that one day soon, hopefully this year, that they get unionized. It's a union in Puerto Rico, but it's not a union in the Dominican Republic. And they take full advantage of those members because they want to work and they don't have the work. And so they're willing to say yes and do everything. Girl, we was in caves with tarantulas. Terrible.
No way. I couldn't do it.
No lights, caves, steps, like no railing, no lights. It was terrible.
Dang. Wow.
And we have, and people feel like it's glitz and it's glamour. They see the actresses and the stars on the red carpet. They don't know that we have to be sometimes outside in 100 degree weather.
Mm-hmm.
Below weather, below zero, below weather, raining, sleet, snow.
Right,
it's harsh conditions. And then on top of that, we're dealing with hair. Then you have the makeup artist dealing with the makeup, and you have to make sure that their makeup stays in place. But we have to make sure their hair doesn't revert back, or their curls don't fall, or they look like they look. The scene has to be continuous. The continuity has to match. And sometimes the elements are not on your side.
Right. This is crazy. Oh my God. So you just got finished working on Book of Clarence. I know that was shot overseas, but what was the feedback? What's the feedback so far, do you think?
Girl,
I've never
been to Italy. I had been to England. I had been to London because that's where I went to wig making school at. And I went in July, August, and September. So therefore the weather was, once I was getting ready to leave, it was dreary and wet a lot.
Okay.
During in August and September was just hot. And I was like, so do you have air conditioning? And they was like, no.
Hey, I know you're enjoying the episode, but I need you to do something really, really important for me, like right now. I need you to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and let the people know how much you love the Friends of Beauty podcast. See, in the podcast streets, I'm gonna let you know something. If you don't leave a review, then people don't know that the show exists, and then the show won't grow. Reviews are so essential to the continued success of the Friends of Beauty podcast, and plus, I really just want to know what you think about the podcast. I appreciate all the DMs, but a 5-star review would be even better. I would love to read your review on the show and give you a shout out for being a loyal listener. And if it's not a 5-star review, don't even worry about it. All right, don't even worry. Just go ahead and send me an email, honey. We ain't got time for that. If you're watching me on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe, give this video a thumbs up, and even leave a comment to share a takeaway from something that you've learned so far. If you don't subscribe or give a thumbs up, then the YouTube streets don't know that the Friends of Beauty podcast exists either. You see how this is going? This is a group effort, and I appreciate you so, so much. Okay, I'm done. I'm done. Let's go ahead and get back into the episode.
Air conditioner.
He said, open the window. He said, it doesn't get that hot. I said, here. I said, well, it's hot. So in Italy, oh my gosh, we were there in Matera, so it was a lot of limestone and marble and stone.
Yeah.
So it rained more than the sun was out. It was cold. When we left, we got there a little, the winds, the Thursday after Thanksgiving, a week after Thanksgiving. So we got there after Thanksgiving. And so I said, they're going to get them, brought my Canada goose. The chicken's about to be cold out this joke. It was cold. I just didn't expect for it to be that cold. It was dreary. It was wet. Sometimes we had dry days. And then sometimes it was, girl, you people, a whole lot of people fell down them steps. Do you understand?
Oh, no.
Terrible. I didn't fall. I slipped. But those steps, those stones, they were steep and they were hard. Everybody walked everywhere. It was a lot of, it was some cars, but everybody walked everywhere. There were older people walking. They walked everywhere. The steps up and down. When I tell you, I came back, I bought this bed. Because I, you know, it's a lot of, dairy, red meat, pork, and I'm lactose intolerant.
Don't do the red meat.
And I don't do the pork. And so I was starving, but it was wet more than it was dry. And the blessing was that we were dealing with natural hair. So nobody was soaked out.
Right, right.
Nobody was soaked out. And what I love and appreciate about that film was that it was Black people. Us African Americans have all different kinds of nuances of different hair textures. And so you were able to see the element, everybody in their element, everybody's hair. Nobody's hair was soaked out. Nobody's hair was soaked out. We, our key, Adelia, she did Tiana Taylor.
Okay.
But that look was already set before I got there, before me and my team got there. Two of us came right after Thanksgiving, and then I brought another one of my crew members in to help with the wigs, because we had like 40 wigs. You know, James was saying it was a club scene, and you know, even though we have people with natural hair, and girl, we can't do all of that in one day.
Right,
you know, that's a lot. You usually, when you have people, the time to get people ready, you might have 30, 45 minutes. And so I started braiding wigs when I was home. And, you know, my crew member, my friend, she was like, I can do them. I can do them. I can come up there, because she lived in Richmond. I can come up there and get the wigs. And I was like, no, I'm already working off of the clock. I don't want you working off the clock. When you get to Italy, I'm going to get you coming and we'll do it.
Got you.
So it was me, Gayette, Adelia, Fama, Kaya. Adelia. Five of us braiding wigs, and then it was three girls in the background that braided wigs for us too.
Wow. Was it difficult to find the supplies or any the resources that you needed while you were in Italy?
The only thing that I was able to find, okay, so Matiki, the makeup department head, she had a guy that was from Italy that was helping her with special effects and the beards. So he had a guy.
I love this. She had a guy that had a guy that had a guy.
Like the connect. He had a guy that he got products from, and they were able to get us alcohol, 99% alcohol. So we got that. And then we had a guy that on our team, Daniele, who knew somebody at the Cosmo. It was a store, a beauty supply store. He called, he was our interpreter, and he gave Sebastian hairspray, because I couldn't find the hairspray here before we left, because something was going on with the formula. Then they changed the formula, and then it was slow shipping out. So everywhere I called, they didn't have it. But you couldn't buy. It was the little tariff thing between London and Italy, and people weren't buying stuff from London because of the tariff, the taxes and stuff, and they wanted to be separate from everybody else. And
oh, it was crazy.
We couldn't get Bluebird, like we use Bluebird adhesive, the glue. We couldn't get that. So we had to get everything from here. The producer, Garrett, sent his assistant here, because I have crates in my garage, like those big DeWalt black crates that I travel my gear in. And it was too much to send all of those. I have like 20 crates.
What?
But she ordered three suitcases from Amazon that didn't come. So she had to cancel the order because she flew in from North Carolina. Now, I think she was probably in LA visiting her sister. She flew in from somewhere. So she sent her New Year's Eve. on the plane. She came, we went to Target, we got 6 suitcases, and we got everything, and we packed up everything in those suitcases. The glue, then my key, he got some stuff shipped to him. Some of it came, some of it didn't. He had to get a suitcase. I think he brought 2, we had, because I think you can only travel with 5 or 6. So we got our limit. I traveled with 3, because I already had 3. And a carry-on. He got a suitcase to travel his stuff with. And yeah, me and him, but I traveled with the majority of everything, because I didn't want to burden him, because, you know, we had to carry anything aerosol, even our gel, our hand sanitizer with alcohol could not be shipped. We had to bring that with us on the plane.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Everything. And then it's like, and then I had to bring that stuff back on the plane because they still couldn't ship it. Whatever shipping company they were using, they didn't want anything that contained alcohol on that shipment.
Wow, this sounds like a lot. It's just so crazy. I did watch the movie, so it's just so crazy. Like, when you see things, you just don't know all of the ins and outs, the behind the scenes, the trials, the tribulations that go into a production.
Then they sent me a manifest that I had to break down everything that I had. I said, "Oh, I'm not going to do this." First of all, it was in Excel, and whoever did it in Excel messed it up. It was just, I was just like, first of all, I don't really care for Excel. I'd rather do numbers. You know what I'm saying? Because I have an Apple. I'd rather do numbers. I grew up, you know, I went to school. We did that in school, in college. We did Excel. So I had to break that down. Just copied and pasted and copied and pasted. You had to have the manifest, because they needed the manifest before you ship the stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Did that. And what's crazy is, because I'm a tech person, I'm a techie, I know how to do the computers, I know how to copy, you know, I know how to work stuff, and a lot of department heads don't, some part, they don't do it, so they get their keys to do it. But what I do regret not bringing with me was hair color.
Oh, dang.
Because I brought hair for Miss Alfred Witter's wig to make it platinum, make it that white, white, and in order to make it white, white, you got to get hair that's already blonde and then tone it. You know what I'm saying? Bring it up a couple more levels and then tone it. Mm-hmm. And I got all of that stuff in my garage, in my crate. We could not find it in Italy at all.
So what was the workaround for that?
Girl, we had to get Afro kinky hair that we had from his and hers. And then my other crew member, yeah, went and picked out the blacks out of it. And it was all white.
You see that? That is crazy. The dedication is crazy. So
we had to take the tweezers and pick all of that out. We separated. And then I had to use these mustache curlers, like these tiny, tiny mustache curlers. But I was just like kicking myself, because I was like, it was like, you're not going to need color. You're not going to need color. And I was like, never let anybody that doesn't do what you do tell you what you're not going to need.
Right. I like that. I like that a lot. Aside from, I guess, picking out all of the black hairs, is it another style that you all had to do that was the most time consuming?
Hers wasn't really, once Gaya got that out and I curled it, it wasn't that hard to do her wig at all.
Okay.
I think the most time consuming might have been when Adelia braided down Tiana Taylor's hair for that, you know, when she was on the chariot. Everybody else.
Yeah, she got a lot of hair.
Mm-hmm. Everybody else was pretty simple. The wigs for the apostles, like once we got back, I got wigs for them. Because, I got wigs for them. So it was just easier not to deal with their hair. Just pop a wig on and take it off. Mm-hmm. I think the most time consuming might have been that we spent were making the doubles, the photo doubles and the stunt doubles look like the main characters.
Gotcha.
Because those were, they would switch or they would mix them up. Production, like, because you had an Italian production and then you had an American production. And so the producers were like, oh, he played RJ's stunt double. And we're looking at him. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. Like, no, this is somebody totally different and he is the wrong height.
Mm-hmm.
RJ is tall, this dude is short.
Is it because we all look alike?
We know. Honey, it was a whole bunch of y'all look alike and we know. They were mixing up the doubles. I was like, this is So we would switch them around. Like, okay, so you're not gonna, we would let them know, we would let the American people, this is the right person, and this is what we're gonna do.
That's so funny.
Yes, like this is not Caleb Stutton, the photo double. They're different heights because they would we would have like 2 and 3 different units going on at the same time.
This so sounds be, like a
it
lot.
Would be different people running that unit that weren't running it before, and we would have to say, and then we would have to do Google Translate, you know what I mean? And so I would have to, whatever message that I'm doing in English, I would copy and paste it in Google Translate and then send it to them, and they're like, oh, and they'll be like, yeah, all right, we on the same,
nice, wow,
we on the same page, we in the same library and the same book now.
This sounds like a lot. I know you had to do like some extensive research too, just to be culturally accurate with the hairstyles. What did that research process look like for you?
Well, I brought my Robert Carson's book.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't help because there are no pictures of us. I Googled, I YouTubed, and I researched, and there might have been like one man I ran across and he had a little mini afro. You know what I'm saying? And everybody didn't have Cleopatra braids. That was just, you know, a movie. And so basically, I want to say I just went back to the movies that I might have watched with my grandmother, Ben-Hur, Cleopatra, all those old movies, Ten Commandments. And then when I went and YouTube all of the different African tribes in the braided styles they wore, we just put a twist on it and tried to bring it more visual and more attractive, and you know, to bring out everybody's cheekbones and nuances and just make them look beautiful, which was a blessing that we were able to make natural hair phenomenal on screen.
Such a perfect time for this too. I've seen some people like recreating styles. I was telling Matiki, even the henna that they did on somebody's head. I saw a girl do that recently. Not to say people weren't doing that, but I'm noticing that people are starting to pick up on the styles, and even just those tribal styles are like really popular right now. I forget the name, but it's like a lot of different styles going on with natural hair that people are like really rocking.
Stepping out of the box and just doing creative work and mm-hmm. you know, unapologetic about it, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing to do, because everybody does not like natural hair. And I'm just like, but it's not your hair. So why do you, you know what I mean? It's natural. So just feeling comfortable and beautiful in it, and being able to, because our people were from all over the world, you know? And so we were able to enhance them and make them beautiful. He was flying people from all over. And to do that show, to do that film, it was crazy. People from Kenya, Nigeria, it was people from all over coming in to help make that beautiful piece.
I love it. What was it like ultimately working with all of those different people from those different backgrounds? I thought it was just the Italian people, but you just mentioned it's like people from all over.
Oh, no, we had so many people from different parts of Africa that came in. We had some people from England, Spain. We had stunt guys from all over the world. We had stunt guys because they were in the gladiator scene. people were coming in from all over, in different parts of Italy, the United States. It was just a melting pot of just beautiful people, and just to experience them, they'll be like, well, where are you from? And you'd be like, oh, where are you from? And then when we get off work, because you know everything closes at 4, then you're running to them somewhere at a restaurant or a pizza parlor somewhere getting some food because starving. We're starving because everything shuts down at 4. And then everything opens back up at like 7:30. And then we got to probably be back at work at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. So our eating schedule and our sleeping was totally off. It took a long time for our sleeping schedule to get off. But it was, like I said, like if you look at James' Instagram feed, his social media page, you'll see him singing, dancing. Because when our first day there, they were dancing. That's when they were doing the crucifixion, like one part of the crucifixion. And I was just like, oh, okay. Because I've been on sets where the directors play music, But nobody, nowhere were everybody just dancing. All of the people, all of the background, the actors, the actresses, oh my God. Everything. Maria was dancing. It was just Anne Marie dancing. RJ was dancing. Everybody was just dancing. I think it was Burner Boy. They were playing Burner Boy.
Okay.
And I just was like, oh, okay. This is cool. This is cool. And I promise you, we worked our tails off. I promise you, we were tired.
It sounds like it.
We worked our tails off, but we also had fun. That was like one of the funnest sets that I have ever worked on. Yeah. Like, I had fun on Queen Sugar. We always had fun on Queen Sugar, but we didn't to that extent, no.
Yeah. What is the process of getting hired as a hair department head for a film? Or what was your process, at least, for this film in particular? Like, what was the process for you getting that role?
Oh, we put in for, and then we were on a show, and they were like, oh, that's getting ready to start. So we was like, oh, okay. Okay, we can't do it. And then my agent called me because they had a switch. They had a change in the creative department. And then they were like, they need somebody now. And I was like, oh. And they was like, we know, because we got home from A Man at Full. Me and my co-department head, Wayne, we got home the day Thanksgiving Eve.
Mm-hmm.
The day before Thanksgiving. I think him and his family might have made it home. I think his wife told me like 2:30, 3:30 in the morning. And I got home at 1:30 in the morning because my flight was delayed because it was like lightning and thundering. So everybody was home. And then that Saturday after Thanksgiving, my agent reached out to me. And because what happened was she had heard the line producer was with the same agency. And he had reached out and said that they needed, you know, to switch up some stuff. And so she was like, oh, okay. And she called me Saturday and I was in the bed. And I was like, oh, okay. And then Sunday, it was like a definite. And then Monday, they did our deals. Tuesday, they booked our tickets for Wednesday.
So you didn't have to do like any interviews or anything like that? What?
Wow. Because they had already knew somebody that worked with us before.
I love that.
Yeah, who did I interview for? We didn't interview for A Man in Full. We didn't interview for Shirley because they had worked with us before. I sent in me and my key, Wayne, because he's been with me since Queen Sugar. We had to do a write-up, like a display, a presentation for One Night in Miami.
Okay.
I had to do a presentation for One Night in Miami, and I morphed the characters that they wanted to play, the actors, I morphed them into that person. And he had all of the knowledge about Sam because of his granddad. And my grandma used to play cards with Sam Cooke.
Oh, Lord. That's so cool.
Yeah, my grandma, the one that has, you know, my grandma's from Roanoke Rapids, but she lived in Norfolk. And when I called, I said, Grandma, I said, what you know about Sam Cooke and Malcolm X and all that? She said, oh, she was popping gum. She said, I used to play cards with Sam Cooke, sure did, when he was in a gospel group. She said, and he got a daughter down the street.
I swear, older people be having the best stories. Like, yeah, me and Malcolm X used to just go kick it. Like,
yeah. And my other grandma from, she lived in Augusta, wherever from, in Georgia. She said that she grew up with James Brown.
Mm.
He was living in a whorehouse. James Brown, she said that thing was bad. And he was bad because he, you know, she was older than him. She was like, he was real bad. He got beatings all the time.
Dang, that's crazy.
Yeah. So I sent in a presentation for One Night in Miami. I did interview for Queen Sugar. I want to say a lot of the, I've interviewed, I want to say, when I've interviewed for jobs, the ones that I interviewed for, I don't think I got. I didn't interview for Uncorked. That was my first real, real department head job. Uh-huh. I didn't interview because they knew Niecy Nash. I didn't interview for that. I didn't interview for Cherish the Day because that was still a Ava DuVernay department, you know, and calling them Black and White. Uh-huh. But Ava met me on When They See Us. And
Nice.
then Regina met me on Beale Street.
I love this. I just Ava and Regina. I just love it. The first name basis. Just...
Yeah, Regina King met me on Beale Street, and then from there it's history. The one night in Miami, and she was like, "That's why we did the presentation. Nobody called us. The producers didn't call us. I did the presentation, and I put everything together, and I emailed it in. And well, what else did I? Yeah, no." We and just I did and just like that I did an interview with John Melfi.
Okay.
I did an interview with John Melfi and I got the job, and I didn't think that I was going to get the job, and I got the job. I interviewed
Nice.
John Melfi and he was a blessing. He is so sweet.
You've gotten to work on some
I
really
love
cool
working with
projects.
John and PK on and just like that. That was a blessing because I didn't even I thought I was just going to be, oh, I'm going home chill with my nephew. And my son, I'll be home. It was right after Queen Sugar. So I didn't even anticipate getting that job.
Wow. What was it like working with Matiki on this film? Like, how do the hair department and the makeup kind of mesh together to come up with the final product?
It's crazy because whatever makeup department head I've worked with, we always seem to, everything seems to come together. I would show her, we would look at pictures, and then she would just enhance it just because nobody had lace fronts back in, back then. But we had to get, we cut the lace as far back as we could. And Matiki, her makeup artist, Matiki Allison, they covered it up with the makeup, the stencils. And I was just like, you saved us. Because what that palette that we were using was turning ashy, like to cover up the lace, it was turning ashy. And we can't do, everyday girls or women are walking around with the lace fronts with the baby heads. We can't have no baby heads. We
Right, back in
can't
those times.
have baby hiding the lace. We can't have that. We're not gonna do that. This was before Christ, but nobody was wearing that, and we can't do that. And so we were covering it up, and you have to use the proper kind of makeup that's gonna cover that lace, because those cameras are
Pick
insane.
up
They will
everything.
pick up any and everything, any speck, anything. And she highlighted and she covered it up, and you couldn't tell no one, even the people that didn't have it around the hairline, you couldn't see it. She like she looked out. Her she enhanced everything that we did. The makeup, that makeup, everything that she did enhanced everything that we did. It was just an even flow. Even with Miss Antoinette with the clothes, everything came together. And we weren't with wardrobe, was in a whole different department than we were. They were in that department, a whole different part, location. Me and Tika were across the light. Cave, it was like big cave, it was across the cave from each other, so we were together, but we weren't with Miss Antoinette, so we were with them WhatsApp, and she would show us the outfits. But everything came together, no matter, it just came together, no matter where we were, it just meshed. She was like, "What are you going to do?" And I'm like, "What are you going to do? What do you have planned?" And it's because we were right there, so it was so easy for us to talk to each other. And just working with Matiki is a legend, because Nathan Bush, who was my department head on When They See Us, I did him and then the pilot with Regina King. First, we did the Home Sisters, and then we did When They See Us. And he had been talking about Matiki ever since I met him. Matiki got a
Wow,
brownstone. She saved her money and she brought a brownstone. Matiki did this, and we have our
that
brownstone. Matiki is doing Wonder Woman. And I was like, what? She's doing Wonder Woman. Matiki is here. Matiki is here. So to finally, and then my other mentor, Debbie Young, I met her years ago in 2008. I met her years ago when I first got it, and I wasn't even in the union, because being that I'm from Virginia, I had to hook and crook my dates, and act like I'm from a local, and I'm not. You know what I'm saying? So I had to hook and crook my dates. So I met Miss Debbie in like 08 or 09, and that was because I met a department head in New York named Cody Armstrong. And so she came to Virginia, to Hampton, Virginia, to do a pilot, and that's when I first met Miss Debbie. But I've been knowing about Miss Debbie since The Wire, just never met her. Because when I was trying to get in the union and get my days, The Wire was done. They had finished shooting it. So I had met Miss Debbie, and Miss Debbie had always talked about Matiki. And then when I worked with Miss Carol had always talked about Matiki because they always so to finally meet the legend.
Yes.
Everybody had met her except for me. I was like to finally meet the legend and work with her. And I think I just talked to her last week. I have to, it's a blessing to work with people and know that they have you covered and they're watching over you and they're like you just following and they have so much knowledge. So much
That's
knowledge.
So cool. I got to get Miss Debbie on the podcast. I talked to Carol before and I interviewed Ngozi. I don't know if you know Ngozi, but I interviewed Ngozi live.
I met Miss Ngozi. Yes. Everybody is on speed dial in my favorites on my phone.
I love how y'all are all connected. I really love that.
That's so crazy though, isn't it? It's so amazing how we all, like Ngozi was with us once. Shirley. Ngozi, I first met Ngozi. I heard about Ngozi. I first met Ngozi when I went to Day Play. I think it was about the Robert. They was talking about John F. Kennedy when he got killed.
Okay.
So about Jackie Collins and Natalie Portman played her, and so that's when I first met Ngozi. Or did I first meet her when they did it was the action movie, and they still doing it now because Janice had called me up to Day Play. But either way, I met her in 2012. That's when I first met Ngozi in 2012.
Wow, I love that. I love it. So you have to take us back to like your early beginnings, like as a hairstylist in Virginia. You were in Virginia, right? As a hair, doing hair. How did you transition, or what was it that made you get into TV first? So take us back to like when you first started doing hair, you're in a salon. What does that look like?
So, everybody watched The Wire. So, The Wire came on first. No, Sex and the City came on first on HBO. And then The Wire came on. So, I remember watching The Wire. My son, I remember watching The Wire. And is she Korean and Black? The detective? Or is she Black? Because her and Miss Debbie are cool. They still talk. Miss Debbie went to her daughter's wedding. Last year, I think her daughter got married last year because I was on the phone with Miss Debbie and they were there. They had flew in for her wedding and her daughter's wedding, and her hair was one way and then it was another way. And I said, well, why didn't they get that? They need to get that. Like, you will be seeing stuff. I'm like, why is it this way? And so what was crazy is my son's father has cousins that he visits in Baltimore. So when we were going up there visiting, his cousin Trina would be like, oh, they was filming The Wire in that graveyard. And they was filming The Wire here and they was filming there. So I don't know how I came across IMDb, but I did. And I figured it out. And I started like emailing and texting the people that worked on The Wire. And and I just said his name. He was a barber up there, Ben Belton. Belton was a barber up there. And he told me that they had already finished filming it. They weren't filming it anymore. And then another hairstylist named Susie Mazzarisi gave me the information. She said, you're going to have to get in the union.
Yeah.
How you get in the union? You have to do Broadway, commercials, music videos, film and television. She said, but it's going to be hard because it's nothing being filmed in Virginia. You're going to have to go other places and work and work your way in. You're going to have to tell people that you're a local and you're really not a local. You're going to have to figure out a way to get your check sent to a place, go find somewhere where you can get your check sent. I did that, girl. I did it. I called and called. And the blessing was, they were filming Law Abiding Citizen, which Lalette was on. Law Abiding Citizen, Batman, and The Last Avatar.
All
at the same time in Philly.
Wow.
So I don't even know, got the production. I don't even know where I was getting the production names that were being done. I don't even know where I got that from at that time. So I ended up emailing a producer named, forgot a man name. he called me. I was at work. I was in a salon. He said, my department head needs somebody to help out. He said, you live in Philly? I said, yes. He said, he's going to call you. His name is Cody Armstrong. He said, I need you these days. And he gave me the days. He said, yeah, I'm going to send you the call sheet. and this is where I need you to be. I said, okay, okay. Now I don't know what to bring with me. I'm about to bring my stove and everything. I just know I got a job. Bring with me. So now I start calling people. This guy, oh my God, I gotta find his name. He worked on Glee. He was a department head on Glee. He answered the phone. Don't ask me how. Then he started texting me. I said, do I bring my stove? He said, get electrics. Do not bring your stove. Do not bring your stove and let me know how it goes. Bring a blow dry. He told me brushes, combs, clips, hairpins, everything that you need to do to hurry up and get hair done.
Yeah.
He said, that stove and the Marcel's there. And he told me, he said, and so I called my sister Natalie. And I told my sister Natalie, she had just moved back from Tampa. So she was in DC with my other sister. She said, okay, this is what you do. You come pick me up. My uncle live in Philly and we're going to stay there. I drove up. I slept for like an hour or two. We got in the car and we drove to Philly. And I got there like maybe like an hour beforehand. She took the car. She went to her uncle's house and she said, call me when you're ready to come get me. You know how, call me when you're ready to come get me. And it was like sometime it was June. I didn't know what the heck I was supposed to do and what I was supposed to do.
Hey, but you got to start somewhere.
This lady, Barbara, she said, is this your first day? I said, yeah. I said, what I do, how I do, because I'm watching her. But she was in makeup. So it was one makeup and one hair. And so I'm just following. I had no clue what I was supposed to do. I got the people ready. Cody came there. And he just was like, oh, okay. So then I'm doing the hair. And I'm just like, how you wanted to look? He said, you know, I'm just doing the hair. I had no clue. No clue. I'm just doing hair. He said, these are the everyday people. They in the office. Right. Make it quick. I said, okay. All right. So when we get to set, he said, have you worked on set before? I'm sitting there quiet. I'm just looking around.
Like, why you ask?
I said, no. He said, is this your first day? I said, he said, okay, I'm going to show you what to do. Show you what to do. And he showed me, and it was another makeup artist, and she said, don't tell people that you're not from Philly, because they're going to be mad that you got this job and they didn't get it. So do not tell nobody that you're from Philly. I had a client that I was doing. Her mom lived in Philly. That's where they sent my check. And then when the check came to her, she sent it to me.
I know that's right.
Yes, it was a blessing. And I worked until the end of the show. And because when he saw my car, he helped me take my gear to my car. He said,
Virginia Tech?
He said, don't tell nobody. Yeah, he said, don't tell nobody that you're not from Philly, okay? He told me the same thing. And I worked to the end of the show. That's when I was working the day Michael Jackson died. Wow. Because I remember being at work and everybody was saying that. And my sister, because she came up with me both times because she was in, not both times, every time, because she was in between jobs. And so she picked me up. And when she got out the car, she was like, did you hear that? And I was like, yeah. And then I didn't work anymore, probably like almost a year, until he came to Hampton and he called me to come to Hampton. And that's when I called my friend that's in the union now, Gayette, to come with me because they needed extra people. And that was her first time on set. And I was able to be like, do this, do that. And then he did an independent film and he called me up and he said, I know you need your days, so come on, cone up him. I'm split days between you and this girl named Nikki. You gonna work this part of the week and she gonna work the next. Then yes. That girl messed up because she couldn't get her clients arranged, so I ended up finishing the show out. So I would just be driving back and forth to Philly, and then this
is just you getting your hours to even qualify for the union
for my days. And by the time I got my day, I lost days before I got all my days, because you have 3 years to get 180 days. And so I lived in Virginia, and then Cody was working, and he started working back in New York on a blacklist. I couldn't work in New York because my address wasn't in New York. I wasn't in the union, you know? And so I wasn't in the union yet. So I ended up, when I went to Hampton to help him do that pilot, I ran into a girl named Nikki, and Nikki called me to do turn, because it's not a lot of people, union people, and I wasn't in a union. And so she told me it was a pilot. And I worked 2 days on that pilot because a lot of people were coming down from Washington, D.C. and Maryland working on it, and they were putting them up. She said, oh, that's this show, they're going to bring this show because people like history. They like George Washington. They're going to pick this up. And when they pick this up, I'm going to call you. She said, because you're going to get your days to get in the union. She said, because they're not going to come down here from D.C. and Maryland to be here in this cold, in the snow, and work outside. They used to work because that's when the House of Cards was playing up there. They the House of Cards. So she said, "You're gonna get your days because they're not gonna always want to come down here and work." And I said, "Okay." And when it came in, she called me. They started back up the following year in November, right before Thanksgiving. And she called me. She said, "Be here this time." Sent me the call sheet, and I was like, "And then Mercy Street came." And I talked to the department. I wasn't in the union yet. And she was like, "I don't hire people that's in the union, but being that you did this and you work with Ashley," because Ashley was the makeup department head on both shows. She said, "You work with Ashley and they vouch for you. You can run my background." And I said, "Okay." Mm-hmm. And I got my days. I was able to finish getting my days on Mercy Street. And what was crazy is Patina Miller. Patina, I think that's the last name that worked just the star Raising Canaan. She was on Mercy Street. That's when I first saw her. And so I got my days on Mercy Street in 2015, me and my son drove up for my interview, and that's when I got in. And then 16 is when I started working in New York. I went to wig making school and started working in New York.
Nice. So if you can remember back to the first day on set, like, what was it about what you did that raised the little flag? He was like, this your first time? Like, what was it? It was the hair too perfect? Or
yeah, I was doing hair like in the salon.
Yeah.
I was doing hair like in the salon, and I wanted everything to be neat and in place. And he was like, "These are everyday people. Everyday people are not, hairstylists might look neat, but yeah. Everyday people are not going to be always neat and always in place." And that's what I have to tell myself, like, tomorrow when I go to work, we're doing homeless people. We're doing women that live in shelters. So they gotta be, it's hard for me to do simple hair.
It's hard for me to do simple hair.
Like, I can do current hair and period hair. I love period hair, 50s and 60s, but we have to remind ourselves that everything doesn't have to be in place, because regular people, like my department head from Turn, Artist Cohen, she said people should have flyaways because that's free. People should have a little, you know, not long as it's not distracting. That is real. She had me watching this television show called Versailles. Beautiful. She was like, "Look at the wigs. Look at the hair. Look at it. Just look how it flows. It's just not perfect and perfectly in place." Mm-hmm. That makes it real.
Yeah. I was going to ask you too about the, because I remember, I'm in DC, but I used to go back and forth to New York all the time. People thought I lived in New York. And it would be times where people would offer me things, but knowing that I lived in DC, they were like, "We don't want you to have to come all the way up here for that." That's and stuff great. Like that. So when you're, I don't want to say it is lying about your address, but do you think of it as just like, "I'm doing what I have to do to get my money," or do you see it as like, "Oh, somebody in this state could have had that opportunity and it's not being in integrity"? I don't know.
No, because my address is in New York. I have a New York address. My residence is in Virginia. I pay both taxes. So being a New York local with a New York address, I don't get per diem. I don't get housing. It all has to come out my pocket. So it's very expensive for me to work in New York.
Okay.
It's very expensive. It's always been expensive for me to work in New York because I have to pay to live up there. I have to pay to live up there. If I'm working in New Orleans or wherever in another city, and I've been thankful and blessed that I have worked out of New York more than I worked in. So it kind of balances out, but I have to tolls, gas, driving back and forth.
Right.
It's expensive. It's very expensive for me to work in New York. So when I come to New York and work, I don't play. I ain't come there to play. I came there to work and get it done. And I drive back and forth, and it's a sacrifice that not just me, but me and my son have to make.
Yeah.
In order to pay our bills and do what we got to do. I've gone to New York. I did an interview. Jerry Popolis was my interviewer to get me in the union. And he also interviewed me to work on The Greatest Showman, because he remembered me from my interview, but he wanted to sit down and talk to me. Mm-hmm. And so, and my address was in New York then, even though I didn't live, because I have family to live there. I have best friends to live there. So if I'm not paying to stay in a hotel or Airbnb, I'm crashing with them.
Yeah.
And I drove up. I think he wanted to meet me at 10 o'clock. I got in the car, 2 o'clock in the morning, put my makeup on, drove up there, met with him for an hour, We talked about different wig makers, Marcielle, Alex Ross. He showed me what he wanted me to do. He showed me the studio because he was at Steiner. He was like, I'm very proud of you going to wig making school. You taking that money out your pocket, going over there. And then I got in the car, I got something to eat and drove right back home.
Yeah, that's how it be.
And the same day. And I'm thankful and blessed for Jerry. I'm thankful and blessed for a lot of my mentors and department heads that I work with, because he gave me days on the Irishman. They played on the Irishman. Whenever he's working, I can always depend on him. If I'm looking for work, he will give me work. He gave me the Biden thing when I did the Biden president before he got elected. He gave me that job.
Nice. It's all about the relationships. I've been trying to tell people building relationships is so important in this industry.
Definitely, definitely. I'm thankful and blessed for the people that are in my life that have just looked out for me, just always looked out for me. And you looking out for me is blessing me, not only me, but me and my family.
Exactly, exactly. So what's the significance of being a UK-trained wig maker versus, I don't know, anywhere else?
Because the American wig makers and the UK, our bases are different.
Okay.
If you flip a wig over, you can tell. Because I'm American, but I learned how to make wigs over there. So basically my bases, the way that I make my wig base and my foundation is different than an American wig base maker.
Okay. So I'm a makeup artist. I don't know anything about hair.
When I worked on Turn, we had a wig from Peter Owen, Peter King, Natasha Laddick. Yeah, we had those four, and then Ray Morrison. And Ray Morrison, Peter King, Peter Owen are in the UK. And then Natasha Laddick is from LA. Well, she's not from LA, but she lives in LA. Her origin, you know. But when I flipped them over, because we had so many wigs, John Blake wigs, we had so many wigs on Turn because it was 1700s and nobody had short hair back then. And so I flipped up, my department head said, look at this wig base and look at those wig bases. Mm-hmm. And difference. And do you see why I prefer those wigs? Okay. And my artist is, I learned so much from her about wigs, how to put them on, how to glue them on, to anchor them, to setting, to do the 1700s. Like, I love art. Everything that I know, my foundation with wigs and how to put wigs on and how to dress them and style them and glue them on and just make them look good. And the lace, I learned from artists.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. I learned from artists. Artist is the wig queen. I was able to work with her. I day played with her on Lady in the Lake when they were filming that in Baltimore. And I hadn't seen her since 2017. Mm-hmm. So I saw her in May of 2022. We were doing that in May of 2022. And she, you know, it was the 50s or the 60s, and you know, the big hair, and just to be back there and have fun with her working in background, because background is fun, girl. Music and everything. I'm blessed and thankful to have met her, and I learned so much from her when it came to wigs. Mm-hmm. Her. And then I learned a lot from Sabana Majid, because Sabana Majid came under Jerry DiCarlo. So my wigs, styling and all of that, I learned a lot from both of them.
Nice. Do you still take clients, or does TV and film like tie up most of your time?
I can't say that I don't take new clients, because I just did a girl, like, because I wear faux locks. I pretty much, when I'm working, I wear braids, Michael braids, faux locks. It's either faux locks or Michael braids, either one of them. So I did her hair, because I need to get a shampoo bowl. So in my garage, with being that we went on strike, I had to say, like, I can't. Plumber, bowl, I got to pause on that. Mm-hmm. So my older clients that I have been doing since like 98, they come to my house.
Okay.
And their hair is shampooed or not. But it's probably like a handful of them. It's a handful of them. And I'll do them. Because if I'm home, you know, and they be like, hey, you going to be home this weekend? I'm like, yeah. And I'll do them. But new clients, you know, because it's in my house. But my older people, my ride or dies has been there since 98. Yeah.
I love it. Have you given any thought to like what you want your legacy to be as far as working in TV film? Just like how you were able to name all of these people, like they came from this person to that person, that person. Like, do you think about your legacy in that way? Like, they came from up under Nicoya and this and
I don't
that.
know, like my, the end game, that's the end game for me. It's an Oscar or two, an Emmy or two, because I haven't, we were shortlisted for One Night in Miami, and I had no clue. The makeup, the Keegan makeup, Sabrina had texted me. She was like, "You're in the Bake Off. You're in the Bake Off." And I said, "Girl, I'm not baking nothing. What do you mean? I'm at work." I said, she was like, "You don't know what that means." I said, "Sabrina, what do you mean? I don't know. What are you talking about, cookies? What you talk about?"
Right.
And I had no clue until she sent it to me. And I was like, "Are you kidding me?" And we were just working. We weren't, that wasn't like, "Oh, we're doing this for an Oscar. We're doing this for an Emmy."
Wow.
We were just working and doing the best we could. We worked our tails off. And that was when COVID started, and we didn't even know what COVID was. And I was
Right.
dog, sick as a dog. I had no clue what was going on. I was going to die in New Orleans. I called my son. I said, "Baby, this might be it for me."
That.
But I say an Oscar or two, or Emmy or two, three, But what was crazy is when I did Regina King's wig for, I didn't know, one, I didn't know that they were going to, her and Niecy were going to, because her hair stylist, that was her personal on The Watchmen, Niecy did her hair for the Oscars, for the Oscars. And so Niecy, I think they had maybe like another wig that they were planning on using. And so Niecy called me. I was day planning on Induce, and she was like, "You think you can do a wig?" And I was like, "Yeah." "Yeah, I packed my stuff. I said, oh, I ain't coming back." "I don't need me. I'm just day playing.
Okay.
Here's a wig." You know what I'm saying? And so I came home, and I was in on my, where I worked, this workstation, which was my son's desk when he was in school that he never used. And so I turned it into my workstation. And I had up there, and this is when people were saying affirmations and doing, I said, "I will be an award, an Oscar-winning wig maker." That's what I said.
Yes.
"And I will be an Oscar-winning hairstylist." I had no clue that she was gonna be an Oscar winner and she would be wearing my wig. I had
Okay,
no
we
clue.
on the wig is on the stage. I did
I said,
that.
"Oh, thank you, Jehovah." Like, it was something came out of that, Jehovah. I had no idea. I had no idea. And then for it to look like her hair, because her hair was long then, it was down her back. She always has a lot of hair. And so I have to get back to writing those affirmations, because I stopped and I need to start doing them. But I just wanna, it's crazy because my mom doesn't do hair, and my mom is not a hair person. My grandmother doesn't do hair, and she's not a hair person. But they will sit there and be like, "Well, you needed to do this, or you should have did this." Like, they're perfectionists. Like, even when I cut my grandma's hair before, my grandmother hasn't had a relaxer in I don't know how long, and I used to press her hair out with the Marcel and curl it. Like, she had a short cut and curl it and spike it and stuff for her. She didn't even have a relaxer. And if that cut wasn't right, she would pick it out and she'd be like, "Okay, you need to do this, and you need to do th get this. This ain't right. Nicoya, come do this right. Come get this right here." My mom, I don't think so. They are my biggest cheerleaders and my biggest critics. Like,
Right.
"You needed to do this. I would have did this." And my mama can't do hair at all.
But
But
she could tell you about some hair.
my grandma used to press our hair, and my mom did, but my grandma pressed our hair the most when we didn't have, when we were younger. So I just want to make them proud, and my son proud. And my son, he's so like, "What, I did something?" And he was like, "Oh, okay." You know what I
How
mean?
old is your son?
He's 23 now,
Okay, because they'd be
but
so unimpressed. They was
it took a lot for him to be impressed. It took a lot. When I was in, he was like, "Oh, okay." And then when he came down and I flew him in, my first season, he was just like, "Okay."
I see
Then
what's
he was
going on.
impressed. Then he was impressed. It took a lot, and it takes a lot for my, I don't think I impressed my nephew until I said, "Oh, I met The Rock when I did wigs for the Jungle Cruise." And he's just like, "You met The Rock. You met The Rock." And so I just want to make my family proud, and everybody that works for me, like my crew, all of that, because I just want to help them support their families and their families be proud of them and their work, our hard work, because we work hard.
Yeah, work very, very hard.
And I just want them to be able to take care of their families to be proud of them. That's my legacy. I just want to pay it forward to everybody that has looked out for me. I just want to make sure everybody is good. Yeah. Everybody's taken care of, blessed, can put food on their table, get their kids through college, grandkids, and they can leave a legacy, because even though we work in this film, we have to have other streams of revenue. We figured that out during the pandemic.
Exactly.
The strike. This can be our legacy, but we have to also have other stuff going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Is there anything that's coming up next for you that you could share?
Oh, yeah.
I know y'all be on top secret NDAs and all these things.
I don't have anything. Not as yet. My agent is looking. I don't have anything. I'm just sitting here waiting and seeing what Jehovah got for me. It ain't my plan. It's his plan. As long as I'm day planning, I can pay this mortgage and this car and this insurance.
Okay.
That's for me. That's it. I'm having fun day planning. I really am. And I'm thankful and blessed. So I can't complain. Whatever's for me is for me. I do want to, when I got in the industry, I got into it because I wanted to sit and watch the work that we did, everything that we did on screen. I wanted to eat popcorn and watch. And I was able to do that with The Greatest Showman. And I was able to do that with The Book of Clarence. And it was so crazy because when we went to the premiere, that was the second premiere that I was able to go to. And the first one was with my son when I did, that was one of my first department head jobs. And I had no clue what I was doing at all. Cause Cody was like, what are you doing? You don't know what you're doing. I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And my son was young too. And I was gone for like 2 months. I was devastated. I was gone. Mm-hmm. I came home like once, you know, in between that. And that was on his birthday.
Uh-huh.
And something on the lake. Something. It was in Roanoke. Dang, I'm mad I don't remember that.
Something, Lady in the Lake or Lady something.
It was Jane Seymour was in it.
Okay.
And I learned a lot from her. Jane Seymour was in it. Okay. And she, you know, the medicine woman. She played the medicine woman.
Mm-hmm. I know Jane Seymour. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot from her. She was so sweet. She was so sweet. And he came with me to the premiere, and it was a girl named Scotty Thompson. She played in this sci-fi movie that was real big out at that time. And so they brought her in for that. And so when they came to the premiere, when they brought in the premiere, I brought my son with me. My best friend, my mom, came up on the next day. But Jameer came because I had to do her hair and her makeup. And so Jameer came with me, and they had an Airbnb. They had rented a house up there, and her dad and my son have the same birthday. So he took him swimming in the lake. I said, please don't let my baby drown.
Okay.
Please don't let my baby drown. She was like, he'll be fine. But he came to my first premiere. That was my first premiere. Him, Malika, my mom. And that was so my second premiere. He came to LA for us. Gayette came. Wayne came with his wife. We all came, and we were able. That was the second premiere, and it was so crazy. For him, you know, him, and we had popcorn, and we were able to do the after party. It was amazing to have him there, because even before he got in the business, when he was younger, I'd be like, I'm about to rap this time. He knows all of the lingo, rap, call time, you know what I'm saying? All of that, rolling. He knew all of it. Even my nephew, if he FaceTimes me, he said, oh, okay, they just called rolling. I'm going to call you back. You know, and he'll get off the FaceTime with me.
Yeah, I love it. I love that. Okay, well, this has been a great conversation. You know, I can't let you go before asking you the Friends of Beauty rapid fire questions that you've been looking forward to.
Okay.
So whatever comes to your mind first, you can spit it out. If you need to elaborate, that's fine too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the first one is, what are the top three keys to your success so far? Three things.
My faith. Endurance and versatility, being able to adapt with all the changes that come in. And then you also have to be versatile, because in our field, in our beauty field, something might be in today and it might be out tomorrow. People have different trends and different looks that they're doing. So you have to be able to be fluid within all of that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. How do you measure your success?
I don't.
I don't
measure it. I don't measure it. I just do my best. I give it 250%. Anything that I do, I give it 250%. If, because I'm so shy and I'm bashful and I'm humble. And then people say you can still be humble and still know that you can do what you can do.
So you can still be humble and pop your stuff.
Yeah, I'm so humble. I'm just thankful and blessed because I have gone through the fire. I've been through a lot. And to be here, I'm just thankful and blessed that I've been guided with my family, my structure, and my foundation. And I have so many people that have supported me when my son was young and getting him his dad, my mom, you know, helping me rear him. And that I was able to be to work in Virginia until his last year in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, junior year. Okay. And that's when I started working in New York. So, and he's self-sufficient. So I just measure it by him, my family. I'm here and I'm able to sustain.
Mm-hmm.
That's my measure. And yeah. I can keep working, have a good reputation, and people know if they hire me, that is, they're going to get everything that they're looking for and more with not just me and my team.
No, that's right. Okay. What's the best advice you've ever received or a piece of advice that's just always stuck with you?
Oh, gosh. I get so much advice from Debbie. And then also one of my clients that passed away from cancer, she told me if it's fast, it doesn't last. And if it's slow, it grows. So, and I'm a fast mover. I'm like, and I'm always leaping and before I think. And so that's one thing I have to slow down and take time. And Miss Debbie also told me to just, you got to think and you got to pray. Even my mom, mm-hmm. think and pray before you make decisions, because I'm a leap first. And you know how people be like, go leap off of faith. And then, but I think I took it out of context. and don't have to, and not know what I'm doing. So mm-hmm. I've been just taking my time and not just saying yes to everything or not being afraid to tell people no, that it can't get done. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to have to try something else. Like, you know? So those are my things. I have to think. I have to pray. I have to just chill.
I like that. Because
I'm a, even when I did Miss Tyson's hair when we were on church today, she said, girl, you move too fast. You need to slow down. Like, you making me nervous. Just slow down. Okay. What is going on?
That she making her nervous.
Fine. Yeah, she said, they're going to be fine. I'm going to get there when I get there. Just slow down. I said, okay.
All righty.
She said, when I get there, that's when I'm going to get there. They not going to rush me, and you not going to rush me. So slow down and let me eat my food.
Yes, ma'am. Well, that's all you can say.
And
yes,
that's all I can say was yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. They were like, I said, I'm not telling her anything.
Uh-huh.
Tell her. Because she can have and do whatever she wants to do. She has earned that. Miss Tyson has earned that.
Oh, no, that's right. Is that Elf?
Oh, no.
I'm going to say it looks up. I guess it's the knockoff version.
I got this one, and I'm so addicted to this. I'm so addicted to this. And they have a night mask, but I just keep that on my bed because I use my thumb to get it out. But this one is, and I got another one. Like, I'm addicted to that.
Okay, cool. So the next one, what advice would you give to another, let's say, TV film hairstylist who is just not seeing the results that they want in, you know, that avenue, and they just like, maybe I should just do something else?
It takes time, but I can't even say that it takes time. It takes time, but you have to put the effort in. You got to network. You got to call people. You got to worry people to death. Like, you have to, not be, put your ego to the side and just keep calling and keep texting and keep emailing and be present in people, because you never know when somebody's going to need your skills to do something. I don't have no problems with knocking on somebody's door, kicking the door that I'm here. Do you need? It's so many producers that I emailed and text and called for work that I am working with now. And I'm like, oh my God, I remember emailing you. Like, oh my God, I remember texting you. Like, they did no job though, but I still ended up working with them, you know, because I wasn't what they were looking for. I wasn't experienced. I had just got in the union. So you get a good reputation, you work hard, you give it 200%, you're not lazy on set, you always there when people need you. You got to know people. You have to figure out how they move, your department heads move. So before they know what they need, you know what they need.
Yeah.
So you have to always be viable in any atmosphere that you're in. You have to always. So it's going to take time. Sometimes it's like my friends now, Gayette, Travis. It was easier for them to get in the union than it was for me because there was no work in Virginia when I was trying to get in. It mm-hmm. was, and that didn't come until years after. They were able to get in the union after Walking Dead, Harriet, Bluebirds, you know, the Good Lord Bird. They were able to get those days off of those shows.
Gotcha.
They were back to back. It was far few and in between in Virginia. You know what I mean? So it's going to take time, but I know that it for the people that are coming behind me is going to be sooner than what it took for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything is changing and there's so many shows and so many productions and you don't never know when somebody's going to need your specific skills. So you have to always be viable, work hard, and don't be faking it. If you don't be lazy and be faking that you really not lazy, because somebody is going to see that, you know. Yeah,
for sure. Okay, I love it, love it. What is a resource that helps you in your business that you can share with the Friends and Beauty community?
A resource?
Mm-hmm.
In regards to looks and hair, like hair and hairstyles and stuff, I say Pinterest. I get a lot from Pinterest, Googling, and then social media. But then also what I love is being out and about and seeing different people's styles and looks and stuff like that. You're like, oh, okay, they did that. No, okay, mm-hmm. they did that. I like that. I like that look. And I love complimenting women on their different, like, intricate hairstyles, how they switch this around and switch that around. Like, that's why I love going to different places and different states and different cities. So mm-hmm. you can just see people in their element, just being that's out and about and then watching shows. You gotta watch. I love watching shows because I love seeing what my coworkers and what they're doing.
Right, right. Yes, I love that. So this is the last one. I'm gonna let you off the hook. So it's just I want you to fill in the blank. I just want you to say my name is blank with Nicoya, and the key to longevity and success is blank. Whatever you think it is.
Okay. My name is Nicoya. And the key to longevity is just having faith, knowing that there's a higher power, being humble, and always being thankful and blessed, and working hard and giving it 200%. Even just, and then also taking time out for you, because you will get burnt out if you don't. Your family and your friends, they're important. You can't put them by the wayside, because what we're doing now is not forever. We're not curing cancer. We're not doing anything that's, you know, as far as in the health business. It's right. Like, you know, right. So don't take it seriously, because in this field, you will be replaced. You mm-hmm. will be replaced, but all know that if you fall, you break your leg, you break your ankle, they will be like on to the next.
Right.
So be viable, but also don't forget what's important. Don't forget what's important that got you there, that gets you up in the morning, you know?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
And always be viable and fluid.
Yeah, so that's excellent, excellent, excellent advice. Before you go, you have to share your social media, website, however you want people to connect with you and continue to follow your journey.
And I need to get better at both. my Instagram page is I am Nicoya, Nakoya. My website is IamNakoya.com. And then I'm also working on my wig base for Cinema Illusions. I want to be focused because I have lupus discoid. My aunt has lupus, the whole, you know, shebang. And so, and then dealing with cancer patients and war victims that lost their hair in the war. Yeah. So I'm trying to just come up with something that is, you know, because the way we put wigs on for film and television, everybody can't do that. And then the way that you can get the stock wigs with the thing, everybody, that doesn't work for everybody. So I'm just trying to come up with a way that is more conducive and more effective and more easier for like my aunt who has issues with stuff like that. So. Right. I've been trying to bust my head open and do it. I could have did it for the 5 months off, but I started a trucking business.
I know, that's right. You try to make this money come. Yeah, I get it.
But I'm working on that now. You know, I can really only do it on the weekends when I come home. So we were talking about different ideas when I saw her yesterday.
Yes. Okay. Well, Nicoya, thank you so much for your time. I definitely learned so much. I learned so much just from like listening to you and everything like that. So I really wish you much success on everything that you continue to do. And we'll definitely stay connected for sure.
I truly appreciate you. I truly, truly do. And then, I truly appreciate you. Maneuvering through my crazy schedule.
Of course.
Thanks for listening to the Friends in Beauty podcast. Don't forget, sharing is caring. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with another friend in beauty. Give it a thumbs up and subscribe, rate, and leave a 5-star review so that other friends in beauty can find the show. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Connect with us on all social media platforms at Friends in Beauty, hashtag Friends in Beauty to join the conversation, and join our Friends in Beauty Facebook community to stay connected. Talk to you soon.